Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's your boy TP Thomas back at the helm, hosting this roundtable of Sports City. A lot of interesting stuff to jump into. We got 60 minutes to get into a lot of these topics, man. And something that comes to light ain't even hit the major league or anything like that. So we got some stuff to discuss, Sports City. Just sit tight, man. We're going to get focused, man. I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Let's go, Sports City. Okay, the calling number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, we got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but you're here with the chefs. And like I said, we got 60 minutes locked and loaded here, man. So I'm going to do as best as I can to get everybody back out there on their Friday evening. A lot of stuff to jump into. First and foremost, the first topic that I want to jump into, and I'm glad that, you know, they're taking their time to settle on in the Sports City, so that's fine. The first topic I want to jump into is Snoop Dogg, a.k.a. Carlos Brodus, if I'm saying it wrong, but I've been saying his name for years and always seen it spelled, but his son Cordell had committed to going to UCLA to play football. And as of today, we have Snoop Dogg's son giving up the sport of football to pursue a career in film. Now, this is how I feel about this topic, and it's good that I get to discuss this solo. The one thing I feel about this topic is this. Everybody is entitled to, you know, dealing with their dream, aspirations, or what they have a God-given ability to go after, so on and so forth. And knowing that this guy was a four-star wide receiver coming out of Nevada, because he went to school in Nevada, and going to UCLA, and I think more or less to get under his father's skin, because Snoop is a diehard USC Trojan fan. You know, whatever Snoop wanted to see his son play football, you know, watching his son play football from, you know, Pop Warner or the Pee Wee Leagues up until high school and having a TV show behind him and everything that went with it. He was ranked number 150th out of the top 300 in the nation in college football. And as of today, Jim Mora also came out with a statement, as well as Cordell as well, saying that he will be pursuing a career in film at UCLA. So I don't blame him going after what he chooses to go after, because, like I said, at the end of the day, is what he chooses to, is his dream, goals, aspirations, so on and so forth. But knowing that there was a lot of hype around him, and him being a highly coveted big receiver, like he's a taller receiver, has decent speed, and Snoop made sure that he had good hands also, and everything that Snoop pushed him to go through up until this point, it says a lot about what happened, I guess, more or less toward the end of his high school career going into college, approaching Jim Mora, who also was a pro NFL coach as well. So knowing that there was a lot of stuff in front of him, and, you know, Puffy's son that was going there until Puffy messed that thing up for him, and having him redirected going to another, you know, well, getting pushed away from the university, I guess, due to his father's actions, so on and so forth. I don't blame Cordell in some aspect of it. Now, knowing how much money goes to actors, directors, so on and so forth, that's why I don't blame him. Like, he could find a career there, not risking getting injured, and this could, you know, continue till he's in his 60s, 70s, as long as his body permits him to be behind the camera and telling people right from wrong and what to do. But, you know, it's certain stuff like that. That's why I support him. But then again, it's like you didn't even get out there and address one college snap. And there's so many cameras and social medias and, you know, what have you in front of this situation. And he hasn't even snapped it down in college football. So this is where I'm looking at it. Like, there is so much attention around superstars or celebrities, especially their children. And if their children haven't even made a step toward a certain, you know, aspect of the sport or what have you. But this has definitely made the big waiver wire across the sport world today. So we do have a caller in queue, calling in by way of the South Carolina area. Mr. Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good. No one cares what Snoop Dogg's son is doing. What's wrong with you, man? Come on, son.
Wow. Wow, I asked you how you were doing. I didn't even address that. I was glad I was ranting to myself. Now,
Wait. So you prefer nobody come so you could talk about like TMZ, Entertainment Tonight type stuff? Is what you're telling us?
The fact of the matter is, look at the negative. Look at the negativity is drawing out of you. That's why it's good that I got to rant to myself before I could look at the switch and see you here. So that's good that I got to clear my lungs on that.
If you like TMZ and Entertainment Tonight and Lifetime, listen, I'm not here to judge, bro. I support you no matter what.
Okay. So here we go. He is a big name coming out of high school, going to the college ranks to a Division I school who is nationally coveted, and being coached by an NFL or a former NFL head coach himself, and Jim Mora Jr. I mean, is it getting too much press? I mean, is there anything that you'd like to say toward it or get past this?
If his last name wasn't Broadus, would anybody care? You know how many 4-star athletes go to college and decide to do something else and not play football? If his last name wasn't Broadus, which is Snoop Dogg's real last name,
right,
Nobody would care. So that's what I'm saying. Okay.
He was one of the top 300 out of the graduating class last year also.
Okay. And Ty, how many of these 4-star receivers go to college and don't even play football or quit after a season or two and do something else? You understand what I'm saying? I'm not knocking you, B. You know that, man. You know I support you no matter what. I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying that this is not unusual. This is not out of the norm. The only reason anybody cares is because of his last name. Oh, by the way, his last name is not Dog, people. His last name is Broadus, not Dog.
Right. Well, like I said, I don't knock him at all. I actually respect him following another avenue that actually could prolong his longevity of his career. I mean, whatever he pursues, and it doesn't jeopardize his health or him, you know, having the ability to walk or something down the line that he have to address a certain surgery, so on and so forth. So I respected it. Plus, everything that's behind a lot of these athletes that, you know, get into the game and don't really have the right, proper education leaving college, but they do have the athletic ability to go to the pro ranks, and then next thing you know, they're knocked out of the sport or what have you, and really don't have the intelligence, shall I say, to you know, better themselves beyond the sport. So, and knowing how much money is in film, you know, like we can think of all of the big names from, you know, Scorsese on up, and a lot of these actors, like Will Smith, Brad Pitt, all of these guys make it $20 million a movie. Like, and I don't know if it's more or less if he wants to produce movies or be an actor or whatever it is, but for him to, like I said, for him to be one of the top 300 players in the nation, even though he's ranked at 150, I could care less. He's in the top 300. He's a danger regardless on a football field, and knowing he's a taller receiver at that, and going to UCLA where they throw the ball and there's no defense in the Pac-12, I think he could have flourished. But him stepping away from the sport of football, I don't blame him. And he's keeping his scholarship to go to school. And I think he's more or less behind the book. And I respect him for it. just knowing that there's a lot of media coverage behind this, that he is stepping away from the sport of football. And the one person that I haven't really heard about is Snoop.
Right.
I've not heard anything from Snoop. Now, mind you, ESPN followed Cordell's whole high school season last year, and knowing how they were running the table, how they were one of the top 10 high schools in the nation, and Snoop was there every step of the way, you know, pissed off if he didn't make the catch or this, that, and the third. Snoop was in his mouth if he didn't do something right in the game. You're not hearing from Snoop. So I'm wondering if Snoop is taking this personal, because Snoop is the man that actually pushed his career and started up his own little Pop Warner out there in California and watched his son grow from, you know, as long as he had him in football up until now. And this is big news right now. At least to me, I think this is big news. And that's who I'm really waiting for, is to see how Snoop is taking it. I know he's probably supporting his son regardless of what his son does, but you know Snoop was his biggest fan and his biggest critic at the end of the day.
Ty, let me ask you a question, because I never had a father. So, I hear you talk about your dad a lot, and everybody listening, I envy when Ty talks about his dad and how his dad coached him and all that stuff. I envy that, and I'm jealous because I never had that. But let me ask you something. Your dad played ball, right?
Yep.
Okay. If you had decided that you didn't want to play ball, you think your dad would have been upset, or would he have just said, you know what, do you?
He would have supported that. He definitely would have said, do what you want to do. But I know it is tough, because since I was like three or 4 years old, we put a ball in our hands. So we was playing something, you know what I mean? And but see, the thing is, I know if we went to school and had an agenda in front of us, he wouldn't poo-poo about it. He wouldn't be mad at all. I know he wouldn't. But I know, like, on a personal level, like me and him, like, he'd have been like, well, what's going on? Like, tell me what's going on. I know that conversation between me and him would have been different. But, like, to everybody else, he could care less what people thought. As long as we were out there getting education or bettering ourselves or being able to supply ourselves with our own financial means, he wouldn't have been mad at that. But I know at that dinner where me and him face-to-face, it would have been that conversation. What's going on? Tell me what's up. So. You know, I know he wouldn't have been there. I agree with you. I know where you're coming from, though.
But that's why I'm asking the question, because what I'm wondering is, if Snoop got to a point where, like, he's a real dad, where he says, you know what, I'm not going to live vicariously through my son. And maybe that's why he hasn't said anything, because they had that conversation where he told him, listen, you know, I want you to play ball. Because Snoop is a failed athlete. We all understand that, okay? He's a failed athlete. He really wanted to be a ball player. He's tall.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He has a little bit of skill in his heart of hearts. We all know Snoop wanted to be a basketball player. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, or some kind of athlete, basketball, football, baseball, it doesn't matter. If he could have been playing soccer, he would have played it just to get out of where he came from. Now, look at the life his son grew up living, okay? His son grew up never having to worry about shots through the window, lights being off, water being off. You understand what I'm saying? All of the stuff his father, his son never experienced that. So he gave his son what every father wants, which is a better life. So I'm wondering if maybe he realized that if I push him, I could, and again, I don't know. I'm just speculating, because this is what I would wish that if I had a father, they would do. But maybe he's like, you know what? I got my kid out of Compton. You understand what I'm saying? Out of Long Beach. Long Beach ain't too much better than Compton. Let me be clear, people. it ain't too much better.
Right.
You know, he ain't got to worry about banging. He ain't got to worry about set tripping. None of that. Mm-hmm. He wants to act. How many kids coming from where Snoop came from, right, have sons who have the ability to get a scholarship to college and decide not to play that sport? I want to act, Dad, or I want to paint. I want to be an English lit major. You know, all those majors where you can't get a damn job. You know what I'm saying? I think,
well,
honestly, I think Snoop is proud, man.
I can think of one where Snoop is from.
Go ahead. Which one?
His name is Russell Westbrook Sr. And Russell Westbrook Jr. ended up going to UCLA, got a scholarship to play basketball. He's playing pro basketball, but now he's doing a lot of things in the fashion industry, clothing and stuff with Michael Jordan as well. So, you know, I'm just joking around. But I know where you're coming from. I had to throw Russ out there. At least I know Russ is from Long Beach, too. So I had to throw that one out.
But that's what I'm saying. I imagine that Snoop right now is looking back at his life and saying, wow, look where I came from. And my son has the ability to say, I want to take a major where I ain't going to earn a damn dime probably. Okay, how many drama majors actually make it big as actors? Let's be honest. All right? He still doesn't have to worry. You understand what I'm saying? So I think the reason we haven't heard from Snoop is that he's like, you know what, I don't give a damn what you do, man. This is where we came from. This is where we are. Do you. And I hope that's what it is. I hope. And again, I hope that because I would wish if I was in that situation and I had a father, that they would wish that for me. That's why I asked you that. I didn't ask you that like to make you feel bad. You understand that. But because dad, man, it's like, that shit is so impressive when you talk about your father. You know what I'm saying? Because when you talk about your father and the things you talk about, that's the shit that every kid in the project I grew up in, and none of us knew our fathers to this day. That's the shit we all imagined our fathers would be like. You know, we'd have this father, son, I love you, and come on, I'm going to teach you how to play this, and come on, come with me, and that's what I'm saying. And what you talk about is what we imagined growing up. That's what we imagined. You know, so I would hope that, and Snoop grew up like that. He's being the type of father he imagined he never had. I don't think we'll hear anything from Snoop. You understand what I'm saying? I think he'd be like, listen, my son is doing what he wants to do. What's it to you? You know what I'm saying?
And plus, this is the icing on the cake to it. And then, we can get moving. I hate to sound like this, but Snoop's son is 18 years old now. Now he gets to make his own decisions. This isn't Snoop's life anymore. Now, not to say, Snoop don't support, financially what his son does. It ain't like his son sitting on $1 million to say, I got it. Unless Snoop set him up with some money, probably did. He probably did set his son up with some money. Can't say that he didn't. But, him being of age, he gets to make his own decisions. It's not like Snoop has to sign, legal guardian, this, that, or the third for him to, opt out of playing football, so on and so forth. So I think he's entitled to make his own decisions up until this point. So, like I said, I want to hear Snoop's statement or the discussion, more or less. I know Snoop would probably address some cameras I could care less. I want to hear him sit down with probably Stephen A. Smith or somebody, that he could be real with. Because, if he's sitting in front of Diane Sawyer or somebody like that, it's going to be one of them, fluffed up statements. So I want to hear the real out of Snoop. Okay, one more topic, and then we'll get into the NFL preseason situation, so on and so forth. So I have a Major League Baseball question, Chandler, and this has been stewing, and this is wrong.
I hate you.
You hate me.
I know where you're getting ready to go, but go ahead.
Wow, on air in front of all of these people? Lord Jesus. Okay, well, I don't know which way to go. Okay, so I'm going to get to the preseason. Football. He hated me on air. Jesus Christ. I didn't even get to present the question. He hates me. Okay. And we do have a caller in Houston, so I think this helps me. Calling in by way of the Arizona State, you have the chef and stuff, Natural, a.k.a. Mr. Silver. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
It's hot out here, but y'all are making me laugh. He didn't even get two words out, and I hate you was just definitely. It wasn't even like a play around. I hate you. You was serious. That was so funny.
Wow. Oh, and y'all wow. Okay.
It's just funny. I'm sorry, Ty. It was because you didn't even get this. I'm doing good, Ty. Got off of work, so I'm running late. But like I said, you didn't even get the question out. I hate you. It's comedy is all about timing. And Chandler is impeccable at timing. That's all I got to say.
Okay. So I guess the game plan switches. I try to get a lot of the hors d'oeuvre stuff or the knick-knack talk out of the way before I got to the meat and potatoes. So I guess I have to get to the meat and potatoes since I'm being hated on. I'm being hated on in the kitchen. I couldn't even say. What about it just said Mark McGwire wanted to play baseball again or something? Like that. That wouldn't even work. Like, dang. Okay. So, officially yesterday, the preseason week one kicks off. Even though we've seen the game be played Sunday at the Hall of Fame game with Minnesota going up against Pittsburgh, we had a total of 6 games we played yesterday, in which there was a lot to see. You don't really make too much out of the total score because you're more or less seeing a lot of the second, third, and fourth string guys and people fighting for position in a lot of these games. One thing that I took from one of the games, at least from what I had seen across the board, was from the Dallas-San Diego game, where a lot of people are still, you know, up in arms about the Dallas front line, but they really didn't put too much of a big effort up against the San Diego Chargers. The Chargers actually forced the issue, to say the least bit. You didn't really see too much of their first offense either. Dallas' defense is still in question. San Diego moved the ball pretty well in that matchup yesterday. I really don't look at these total scores. I really don't. San Diego won the games 17-7. Dallas was only up to get one score on the board. I can give you the totality of all the games across the board. The Redskins beat Cleveland 20-17. Johnny Manziel had a 15-yard touchdown in that game. He got the Cleveland crowd excited into that game. Chicago finished their game 27-10. Cameron Wake lit up. I'm sorry to say it like this, but I have to. Lit up Jay Cutler. My question, and I thought that this, since it's a new year, and I might be biting my foot or something at the end of the day, or stubbing my toe, or karma may come and get me. I thought Chicago's offensive line would be, you know, better suited for this situation due to the fact that last year that they struggled up front. At least they'd probably be somewhat suited better, or it could be a situation where Miami's defensive front is really that stout with Sue and Wake, even though there's some players that are out right now with Jordan and company too, but you still have to worry about them. But they got the Cutler, but Chicago still won that game 27-10. Green Bay beat New England 22-11. I know Nacho loves every last bit of that. I'll let him elaborate into that situation. And the Saints lost to Baltimore 30-27. And that's all I have for the games of preseason. So, your guys' thoughts?
You forgot a game. You know you forgot a game. Go ahead and say it.
I didn't say nothing. Wait, Chandler, stop beating up on me.
You forgot to mention a game. Go ahead and mention a game, please.
I mentioned 6 games.
You didn't mention a game, Ty. We both know you. Nacho, mention a game you didn't mention, please.
The Lions beat the Jets 23-3.
Oh, what had happened was, you know, I didn't.
Stop it.
I didn't move my money from my savings to my checking. You know, that's what happened. But no, I didn't want to say that because he's already hating me for even trying to bring up a baseball topic. But I didn't even want to talk about that matchup. I left it all alone. I'm trying to, you know, let bygones be bygones. Sports City, I'm trying something new. I'm trying something new. I'm not going to say it on air neither because I don't want it to bite me in my foot or bite me in the back or whatever. I'm not going to say it on air, so I'm chilling. I'm chilling. Okay, so from all of the preseason games that went down yesterday, you know, perspectives from both of you, I'll start with you first, Nacho. I know you watch your boys closely, but anything else that you've seen from some of these games or highlights, or stuff that you're concerned about or actually piqued your interest from some of these games?
Really, I only got to see the Saints-Ravens in correspondence to my game. All the other games were out of view. I wasn't able to see those games. play, and then the late game, which was the Dallas Chargers game. I got to work early, so I wasn't trying to see that game. But I really didn't check that one out. But the Ravens-Saints game, the way, and I know this is, you know, fifth stringers going up against fifth stringers here at the end of the game, but the way that defense of the Saints totally collapsed and let that Ravens offense go down the field, not even stop them. I mean, they pretty much at will did what they wanted. I believe there was a good penalty for them involved in that as well. But it was a good penalty call. There wasn't a bad one by any means. It was, you know, the right flag to call. It just, to me, that really concerned me, because that's what we saw a lot last year from the Saints. Teams at the end of games able to run down the field at will, at so to seem, and score. So that's another thing that kind of piqued my interest with the Saints-Ravens, and the way the Ravens kind of were clicking at the end there. And like I said, it's fifth stringers against fifth stringers, so it's, you know, pretty much no one. Maybe a couple guys out there. I believe they mentioned a couple guys that would be starters that were still playing out there. But it's just, you know, it's one of those things, you know, the head coach's mentality, or the way the coaches coach, it goes through everyone, you know, the starters down to the fifth stringers. And the way you perform on the field, I believe, is also an indication of your coaching. And to me, the Saints haven't seemed to get any better. You know, players on the field, players off the field, however you want to discuss that, the mentality, the coaching still, to me, hasn't gotten any better from what I witnessed. So I'm not too hype on the Saints defense and what they might be able to do. And I think if they're in a lot of close games and this is the mentality they're going to bring to it, I think they're going to lose a lot of close games if they're in a lot of situations where they're up a touchdown or only up 4 or 5 points. You know, and respect to all the games, but one thing I took away, and it was regarding all the games, and especially in my game, maybe because I watched all 60 minutes of it, but the extra point. Now, to teams that don't score a lot, teams that aren't necessarily in the red zone, in getting touchdowns all the time, it may not be a big deal what you're going to do, if you're going to kick it or if you're going to go for two. But for teams like the New England Patriots and the Green Bay Packers, who are going to put up points, let's be honest, 32 to 40 points, they're going to be around that range. So the play calling of going for the extra point or going for the two-point conversion, it was very interesting to watch Mike McCarthy and Bill Belichick, and I know Bill only got one shot at it. But to see that they were going for two, there were not a lot of opportunities for these kickers to make mistakes. They gave Mason Crosby one extra point attempt, and it was sketchy to me. It went in, but it was sketchy to me. So that is probably going to be the biggest thing that I take away from any game, aside from the fact that Aaron played almost the first whole quarter. 11 for 19, some good yards, got balls down, moving down the field. You know, the first team offense looked, you know, pretty much perfect. We're talking, you know, 42 points a game probably this year. So, other than the Packers doing that, the biggest thing about the games that I'm taking away is the play calling after the touchdown. Are these teams going to go for two on a continual basis? And it really, you know, the light dawned on my head because we talked about it a couple of days ago with the Steelers situation and Schwiesem. And they're not the only team that plays in the stadium that gets windy and has problems. So this, I think, is going to be the biggest thing I think everyone's going to take away from the preseason is what people are doing after they score touchdowns.
Okay, Mr. Knight, your thoughts on some of the games that you may have heard about or caught from at least the first couple of games here in week one of the preseason. Any, you know, news or notes or players that you heard about? And it's interesting that Nacho hit on the Saints game, because I'm going to be honest, and to kind of, you know, spice Nacho's dish up a little bit, I am concerned about the Saints also. I mean, they may have put up 27 points, but that's more or less up against, like we said, the third, fourth, and people position battling, so on and so forth. But They don't have Jimmy Graham anymore. They don't. I really don't think that their offense is as scary as it once was. And yet, Drew Brees can make a lot of those passes, and he's a prolific and elite quarterback. I'm not taking him out of that conversation. I won't do that. I won't disrespect Drew Brees by any means. He's still an elite quarterback. But he's going to have a lot to prove right now. One, with a defense that is in question, and two, without his best piece. I could care less if people want to debate that. His best piece being Jimmy Graham gone. But, Chandler, anything that you'd like to discuss before, you know, I have a crack at it.
Well, Nacho brought up some real good points, man. And I think I didn't get to watch any of the games except the ones that were on NFL Mobile, which was a Patriot game and a Charger game. But today I was trying to, like, as I was working and everything else, you know, you go to NFL Network and they were showing different games. It was New Orleans games, right? That that whoever they were playing scored last and won the game. That was the New Orleans game, right?
Right.
Right. And to further Nacho's point, yeah. If your third and fourth string guys are that bad, that means your first and second string guys aren't that good.
Right.
New Orleans is in trouble. They're in a rebuild mode. They're in a rebuild. And Ty, I said that to you when they traded Jimmy Graham. They're in a rebuild. They're just not announcing it. Their defense is horrible, man. Because I didn't even know who they were playing. And I'm driving. I'm listening to it because, you know, you get Bluetooth or whatever. So I got the sound coming through the speakers. I'm driving. And I'm hearing, go down. They're going down the field. Touchdown. They win the game. And I'm like, what? What the hell just happened? Because, you know, you can't look down and look, you know, because you start looking at your phone, you run into somebody, whatever. But I was like, okay, how the hell did that just happen? And Nacho was right. With this 33-yard field goal thing, it makes more sense to go for two. You got a better shot. You have a better shot at going for two than you do for kicking this long field goal now, especially when half, three-quarters of field goal kickers in the league are not that good. There's a lot of injuries. You know, the Redskins lost another tight end. They're down like three tight ends now. You know what I'm saying? Where people are like, maybe they should sign Chris Cooley, who hasn't played in like 7 years. Okay, people are asking, "Oh, dude, you want to sign Chris Cooley?" But no, seriously, the Redskins, can they get out of their own way? Can they stop getting people hurt? The Browns, I don't care about Manziel's run. He fumbled the snap. He didn't look that good to me. The Jets, Ryan Fitzpatrick looked awful, and Bryce Petty looked worse. Let's be clear. And the Jets defense, the much-vaunted Jets defense, where the hell was it? Really? And Tony Cromartie still getting beat on deep balls. Marcus Gilchrist still getting beat on deep balls. So don't talk about the Jets defense. To all you Jet players who threw your quarterback under the bus, who wouldn't support your quarterback, have you guys jaw broken? You're getting exactly what you deserve. Karma's coming for you. It's coming for you, Jet players. It's coming for you. You ain't winning a game till Geno comes back. I'm sorry. I kind of went off the rails. I apologize. I'm back on the rails. But Brandon Wheaton sucks. There were some interesting games, but it's kind of what Nacho said. The extra point thing and the players getting injured are things I took away. There were some major injuries in these preseason games. I don't think people realize the how significant some of these injuries are. I know these are names most people haven't heard of. That's where they're significant, because usually the most important injuries are guys you've never heard of.
Now, and here's an interesting point, and then I'm going to bring somebody in here also. The side of the field that they scored the touchdown on, this is the impactful situation about this, the extra point situation. So if they score on the left side of the end zone or the right side of the end zone, that's where they're kicking the extra point from. They're not kicking from the middle of the field, how it notably was on the extra point, and just kicking it straight through the upright. They really have to aim that kick. Now, let alone, here we go now, let alone they're playing in these stadiums that you, Chandler, and Nacho just hit on, being in a windy environment, let's just say Lambeau, let's say, and this is the worst one because I was just there last year, let's say Soldier Field. The picture that you saw of me at Soldier Field with my jersey on, with just the Calvin Johnson jersey on in front of everybody, that was all a hoax, okay? Look, I had that jersey on for at least, look, I had that jersey on by itself for at least 4 seconds. After I took the picture, it was strictly a coat. Look, I had, there was no me wearing that jersey. I'm sorry. So the wind is impactful. If you've ever been to Chicago, Lake Michigan looks like a damn ocean. That wind is a factor out there, believe me. So if you're in the middle of Chicago playing for a big game, that could actually trigger something also. This extra point stuff is going to be critical to teams that have questionable kickers, to say the least. So this is going to be big, but it is true on what Nacho hits on. Teams that have a confidence or high-powered offense, believe me, it's going to look like Chip Kelly back in Oregon, because they're going to try to run the score up to make people settle down and kind of bow out of games. And, like, I don't know if Mike McCarthy will hit the brakes. I know Belichick will do it, too. If Sean Payton's offense is looking like it's there, I know he'll pull the trigger on it, too. But, there, like I said, there's a lot of interesting things. And, Chandler, let me just say this. Is it really Fitzpatrick or Petty? Or was Detroit defense playing ball? They held them to 5 first downs for the entire game. 5.
It was a combination. Listen, I didn't watch the game, but I told you the Jets were going to stink to join up. Did I not tell you that before the game even started?
Wait,
be honest. I told you. Did I not tell you? And be honest here. I told you Bryce Petty was going to stink to join up, and so was Ryan Fitzpatrick. I told you that before the game started. Bryce Petty, listen, they're talking to Matt Flynn. The New York Jets worked out Matt Flynn. The flickering you hear in the background is Nacho, because he understands why I'm saying Matt. Right? Okay. The New York Jets worked out Rex Grossman. They worked out Rex Grossman. Rex Grossman, ladies and gentlemen, is the savior for the New York Jets. So, yes.
Okay, but let's say this.
Wait, Ty and I have been going back and forth since the Jets drafted Bryce Petty. And I keep saying to him, Bryce Petty and Geno Smith are the same guy. The only difference between them is the color of his skin. Bryce Petty gets talked up. Geno Smith gets pushed under buses. They're the same quarterback. They're going to have the same growing pains. They came from the same type of offense, which means that they're the same quarterback. So if you don't like Geno, you can't like Bryce. But if you like Bryce, you only like him for one reason. And I already told you what the reason is. So, I don't want to hear about he was going to get backups and guys who ain't going to be in a roster. And he couldn't score a touchdown. Don't talk to me about Bryce Petty. When the Jets are working out Matt Flynn and Rex Grossman. When Rex Grossman is telling ESPN, hey, I'll be available in a week. My toe will be healed. Rex Grossman, Ty.
Okay.
Rex.
Okay.
Grossman.
I'm trying to tell you something. And there was also a few plays. It wasn't like 2 or 3 that these guys are dropping passes literally in their hands where Detroit wasn't there to make the play. Like
Rex,
these dudes were letting Petty down. I understand. Listen, I understand.
Okay.
I bet if they come, he still beats both of them out for the spot.
Matt Flynn, Rex Grossman. Nacho, help me.
Send them. You can send both of them. I bet you they don't beat Petty out for that number 2 or number 1 spot.
He's going to be the backup quarterback, Todd. He's not going to be the backup quarterback. He's not.
Okay. We'll sit still until it's the 14th right now. We have time.
Nacho.
And plus,
Nacho. Hold on, Nacho. if you're talking to Matt Flynn and Rex Grossman, do you have any faith in Bryce Petty? Seriously, let's be honest.
To be honest, no, because we already know Matt Flynn's resume, beaten out in Seattle, ultimately by Russell Wilson, beaten out in Oakland, come back to Green Bay and, you know, losing games, winning games, coming back against Dallas, and then, you know, leaving again to Patriot land, getting cut from them. So he's a journeyman that doesn't do anything, and he's living off one game. You know, we got into it a while back, but reality slaps you in the face sometimes, and you have to be real. He's living off of one great game when we were 14-1. We didn't need the game at all. He went up and put excellent numbers against the team in the snow, and he got paid from that. So if you're looking at Matt Flynn, you have no faith in whoever you have, but it's sad.
I'm going to say it like this. Look, here we go, right? One, Fitzpatrick had two of the first downs. Two, the three first downs that Petty put up was with second, third, and fourth string guys. And three, like I said, I could care less on Chandler presenting the situation if they bring Flynn and Grossman in the doors of gangrene, which I don't even think they'll get there. I don't think they'll get there. I don't even think they get presented to play a preseason game. I still think Petty beats both of them off. Still. And you have to see the passes that Fitzpatrick was completing to get first down. He was getting screen plays. He had one slant and a screen play, and those were his two first downs.
Right there.
I'm not even – Hold on. You gave me enough. You gave me enough. We also have a caller here. Can we relax, please? Please. Now,
what?
I understand.
So what? No.
You okay,
go on my jet.
Wait, I don't do this to you,
and I apologize. I apologize right now. I'm sorry. Okay?
Okay.
I'm sorry. But you're talking about my team, right? You're talking about my team, right? Let me tell you something about my team. We've hired two defensive coaches who don't give a damn about offense. We've hired two coaches who have no concept of offense. Okay? Two coaches. Rex Ryan, I love Rex Ryan. Love him to death. Rex Ryan, if you spelled the word offense, he wouldn't know what the hell it was. Okay? Todd Bowles, defensive coach. Doesn't give a damn about offense. Or he cares about defense, right? Because he signed. Let's bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick has more interceptions than touchdowns for his career, people. He's averaged double-digit interceptions for his career. And all they keep saying is, well, just don't turn the ball over and we'll win the game. And you signed a quarterback who averages double-digit interceptions. And then you brought in a quarterback from a spread offense who's never took the ball from under center in his career. Yeah, that's going to work out real well. Okay? The New York Jets don't have a freaking clue right now. So don't, please, if Bryce Petty is the number two quarterback, Ty, like you say, we will win six games. At best.
Okay, here goes icing to the cake, Chandler. Just to let you know that there is somebody that has been keeping a close ear to everything that we have been doing in the kitchen for the past couple of months. And they heard you speaking on the likes of their team when you said you challenged them to win two games this season. You could think of the team and you could think of the person slash chef that has made this comment. And I quote, they said, my team will have a better record than the New York Jets.
Without Geno Smith, they probably will. Now, this is how much I believe in Geno Smith and how I don't believe in Ryan Fitzpatrick, Bryce Petty, Rex Grossman, Matt Flynn, whatever other bum they bring in there.
Okay. Are you going to elaborate or do I get the caller in here?
Listen, tell Brian his team ain't winning but three games. We're winning six. Shut up, Brian.
Hey, the heat is in the kitchen. Believe me, They hear it. They hear it. They let me know yesterday. I know that they will be here possibly tomorrow. So it'll be going down in the kitchen, calling in by way of the state of Georgia. We have Matthew in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling pretty good. How are y'all?
We're doing all right, Matt. Now, from what you've seen this far in the first week of preseason games, your thoughts on some of the games? What insight do you have towards some of these teams? What are the low points on some of the week one play to some games that are underway right now also?
The only game I caught was the Cowboys and Chargers on NFL Network, and that was basically a terribly boring game. It was 17-7. I didn't get to see a whole lot. The Chargers looked like they had some pretty good running backs. But the only thing I picked up on that game, I did notice the Falcons are up 10-0 early. But, you know, it's preseason, so we're not getting our hopes too high here in Atlanta.
And like I said, I really wanted Melvin Gordon to fall to the Lions, but the doggone Chargers ended up getting him. Boy, they have a home run waiting to be hit every time he touches the ball. Believe me, if the Chargers could get that offense working, especially, when Gates gets away from that suspension, their offense will be something to be concerned about. But right now, like I said, it was the first game of preseason, and it was up against Dallas, too. I'm not really hanging too much of a big hat on Dallas' defense. Even though they did work in the latter part of the season last year, Matt just hit on it, it was extremely questionable to see them being a dominant defense and, everybody touting about the offensive line. Yes, they're huge, and you're going to have to deal with these guys all season long, all game long. They'll be weighing on you. But it didn't just, jump off the charts to me.
Did you see the block? Did you see the block by Lyle Collins? That's on Twitter. Did you see the block?
I actually did not see that block. I seen one block that you won't want me to talk about right now. You won't want me to talk about it. But please tell me about...
He drove the cat 5 yards up and 10 yards across and never lost contact with the defensive player. And then put the defensive player on his back. Let me be real clear, man. That kid's a monster. You know the block I'm talking about because it's all over Twitter.
Yeah, he just, man, it's really unspeakable how he just manhandled that. He looked like a man-child. It was ridiculous. Chandler hit it right on the head. Over and out, pretty much. It was ridiculous just to watch him do what he did. And man, they got a talent right there. If he's not starting week one, I'll be amazed.
Well, he should be starting because they're not gonna leave Romo off a dead like that. That's one. But two. Well, the block that I'm talking about was on a screenplay that Golden Tate caught and. Cromartie basically got burnt on his screenplay, like literally jumped at the ball, missed the ball, came to come back and get Golden. Golden stopped on a dime and made Cromartie like kind of fall in front of him. So when he tried to come back, Pettigrew hit him and another dude and pancaked both of them. Like literally, I can't wait till people see that block because I jumped out of my seat and said, Brandon, that's the first time I ever jumped up and said Pettigrew anything in my life. With him being a Lion. So that was great to see Pettigrew do something critical on the field. He hit two guys at once, and it was on a crazy cutback by Golden Tate. But I definitely will be looking out for this, Collins play. Matt, what about you, about the Cleveland Browns? I mean, did you see anything that you like? Manziel scored a touchdown up against the Redskins. Are you pleased with what Cleveland's putting out?
I think that touchdown by Johnny Manziel will spark some life into him. I just hope he doesn't fall off the wagon. So Cleveland's got to keep fighting. They lost the game as usual. So same old story with the Cleveland Browners.
Well, I'm not really looking at total score. You can't really, fall in love with the total score unless these dudes get pounded out like, last year when Houston was beating people like 30-3, those type of scores. But it didn't really pan out because they were dealing with injuries all last season. But other than that, I'm not really looking at total score. I'm just looking at, like, interesting pieces to some of these teams. And one thing for the Cleveland Browns, a lot of people that know me personally know I'm watching the Browns for one specific reason, and that is Duke Johnson, because he's not only a Hurricane, but I know his family also. So I am watching that pretty closely. And I want to see if he is successful to possibly be the starter. They're saying that he may end up competing for the starting job at the halfback position. I don't think so. I think he'll probably be a scat back, third down running back, but we'll see. That's probably the lone piece that I'm holding on to with the Cleveland Browns. But seeing Manziel play this type of football and scoring that touchdown, I'm wondering if that is going to be the makeup for him playing kind of Texas A&M type of football for Cleveland. That will be interesting.
Hey, Ty, no running back on that roster has distinguished themselves. Do you know who their running backs coach is, by the way?
Do I know which running back? Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
No. Do you know who the Cleveland Browns running back coach is?
No, I do not know who their running back coach is.
It's Wilbur Montgomery. He has made a point to say to the press that not one running back on their roster has impressed him. Now, those of you who are too young to, you know, think of football, you know, before 1990, Wilbur Montgomery was a monster in Philly. Okay? I know you ain't heard about him, but Google him. He's a running backs coach. He has a problem with the running backs in Cleveland. So, be it Duke, whoever, none of them are distinguishing themselves. None of them. And that's got to be, that's a problem. Honestly, that's a problem. Because Cleveland needs a running game. They need it. Because whoever they put at quarterback, let's be clear, Josh McCown looks real good in preseason. Josh McCown's a bum. He's a bum. Okay? You will not win. You will not go to the playoffs with Josh McCown. You will not go to the playoffs with Josh McCown. I'm saying it right now. And I dare anybody to prove me wrong, because he's never made it to the playoffs as a starting quarterback. So I'm pretty confident in square them on. They need a running game. Mike Pettine is still not a good head coach. That organization is run by a clown college, and you have running backs who are being handed an opportunity, and none of them are seizing it. None of them are seizing it. So I understand you jumping for your boy, but you might want to talk to his family and tell him that he might want to just up his game, because when the running back
he didn't play. He didn't play yesterday.
Ty, when the running back's coach is going to the media and saying, "I'm not impressed," and he played in the National Football League in Philadelphia, call your boy's family and tell him he might need to work a little harder.
He is a rookie, so he's going to have to prove himself, and he didn't play yesterday. So I'm wondering if Cleveland is sitting on him to let him be like one of these pieces that they put in either week two or week three to see more reps with the first team offense. But we'll see if Duke does get out there with the second team or third team. To run the ball for Cleveland, they had Terrence West, they had Flanders, they had Crowell as well. Shaw had a run, and Parmalee also had the three carries as well. So they had a ton of people go out there and tote the ball. I really, you know, Manziel was a part of it too. We've seen Manziel's scampers, but that's notable how he plays football. So, I mean, you could add him to the running department, but he's not a running back. So I think they are looking for at least a running back that they are going to contend with, I think, on a week-by-week basis, especially in the AFC North. It's going to be a you know, knock-em-out, drag-em-out season for Cleveland, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and the Cincinnati. That's another one I'm missing. So it's going to be interesting. But
Pittsburgh has no defense, Doc. Pittsburgh has no defense. They suck, okay? Baltimore is the only legit team in that division. It's the only
Wait. You can't still pick the bone with Andy Dalton. Cincinnati is still there.
Dude, seriously, you really want to get to Andy Dalton me right now? Really?
But you said Baltimore's the only legit one. Whoa. You said Baltimore's the only legit one. Cincinnati's made the playoffs three straight years.
And how many playoff games have they won?
None.
So I'm gonna say this again. The only legitimate team in that division is Baltimore. I'm going to say it again. I'll speak slowly. Small words. The only real team in area, Baltimore. Baltimore. Okay, I'm going to shorten the words for you. Okay, because apparently I'm using big the two bigger words.
Okay.
They haven't won a damn thing in 11 years under Marvin Lewis. Talk to me about Cincinnati. Okay, Cleveland has an opportunity to take the freaking division, and they don't have a running back.
The thing is, Chandler, you're right that the. Sorry, go ahead, Ty. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Please.
You're right that Cincinnati is not going to win in the playoffs, but they're going to be in the playoffs, and they're possibly going to win this division. Now, what they do in the playoffs is what they're going to do. Which you just so eloquently put, they're not going to win. They're going to get, you know, zero wins in the playoffs. But they're going to be there. And that's the point. Cleveland really doesn't have a shot. I don't think they have – they're probably third or fourth on the list now with the way that they played yesterday. But I don't think the running back is the only thing that they're missing. They also need a quarterback as well. But that you have to realize Cincinnati – for all their playoff woes, they're still going to be there. That's the point I think I should need to make, because I understand and I get what you're saying, and you're 100% right. They're not legitimate. They're not going to go to the playoffs. They're not going to go on a run. They're not going to win the Super Bowl. But they're going to be in the playoffs. That's just how it is. They're going to win enough games to make it in. They're going to either win the division or win the wild card or be one of three teams to win a wild card or win the division and make the playoffs like this division has done before. So Cleveland is on the outside looking in, and a running back is on the least of their worst.
You're right, Nacho, and I know that. I just hate Marvin Lewis. I'm sorry. I can't stand him, man. I'm sorry.
You're right, though. 11 years and you produce zero playoff wins. Got to be held accountable, but the man keeps getting contract extension after contract extension for mediocrity.
And all of the playoff appearances that he has made, he has had one problem every single time that he's gotten here. And this is something that Taylor hit on, speaking about his Jets. He is a defensive-minded coach, people. And the one thing that has been a continuing situation for him is his quarterback play. Every year that he's made the postseason, something has happened with his quarterback. The past 3 years, which Andy Dalton has only been in the league for 3 years. He's been a rookie since the beginning of the situation. Made the playoffs his rookie season, second season, and last year. And has not gotten out of the first round yet. And other time that he made the postseason, he was with Carson Palmer. And we all know either Carson Palmer, A, got his knee torn up against Pittsburgh, or B, played in games and was throwing a hell of a lot of interceptions up against the New York Jets. He couldn't even figure out Revis and them boys, but Revis and them was taking care of the ball for him. Like, so that has been his issue right now, and I think that they have put a lot of eggs in the basket at the quarterback position for Dalton. But I think Dalton has to show and prove right now, and I know that, you know, a lot of people outside of Ohio or outside of the Cincinnati regime is looking at Marvin Lewis, but Marvin Lewis has that defense in the top 10 discussion every season. Every season. It's not like Cincinnati defense hasn't been there. This is his will, you know, his wheelhouse. At the end of the day, that offense has to provide points. There's been games in the playoffs where they scored 7 points or scored 3 points. They have not gotten over two scores in the playoffs in quite a bit, including a home game, no less, up against San Diego. They lost at home against the Chargers. They lost at home against the Texans. Like these are situations that offense has to be ready for. And I know, like I said, and this is where I give Chandler credit. This is in front of Andy Dalton. He's a young quarterback, but this is a ton of experience for his first three seasons, at least getting to the postseason. I hope that he takes this personal. It could not to win under his belt. But just like I said, I don't think this is a situation where we could hang this at Cincinnati still not being accounted as a problematic team for teams in the AFC North or throughout the AFC in general.
You're right. And you know, you're right. Both of you guys are right. And it's just, it bothers me what Cincinnati does in the play. It really bothers me. It really bothers me. Because, Ty, you just hit it. Are you can't score more than one touchdown? You can't score more than one touchdown. Don't tell me Marvin Lewis is a defensive coach when you're giving up 20 and 30 points, man.
No, they won the game. They lost 13-7. They lost one of those games 13-7. That's actually a winnable game right there. And one person I have to call out, and I feel bad in doing this because I love the position. I can't lie. I love defense. I love running backs. People know I love running backs. But this is one position I love the most, and I have to call them out. I have to. A.J. Green, how unreliable he can be. I know that, you know, he has gaudy numbers throughout the season, but when the postseason comes around, it's like, where did he go, and who is he?
And Ty, and I'm gonna take this on a whole different tack. Remember when we were talking about the Dez Bryant contract? Remember when I said that Dez set the bar too low, and everybody said, I knew what I was talking about. T.Y. Hilton just signed a 5-year extension. How much was it for anybody?
$65 million.
Thank you. What was Dez Bryant's contract for?
$70 million.
And I said, none of these guys, T.Y., A.J. Green, Julio Jones, none of them will get more than Dez. T.Y. Hilton just signed a contract for $65 million, people. Julio Jones is not getting more than $70 million. Neither is A.J. Green. And also, what they're going to do against A.J. Green is, when we get to the playoffs, you kind of wind up on a milk carton, bud.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? People start looking for him like, yo, they start looking for my Baron Robbins, like the Oakland Raiders were looking for Baron Robbins in the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? They go on a crack out here. You see Baron Robbins? You see the big white guy? He might be smoking crack. Have you seen him? That guy's looking for A.J. Green. Hey, it is what it is. It is what it is, okay? I'm going to call it what it is. Barry, listen, I'm sorry you got mental health issues. I do, too. You were still smoking crack. Don't get mad at me. It is what it is.
Dude.
Raider fans, come see me, Raider fans. Come see me. You and the Tim Brown fans, come see me.
You have Niner fans coming for you too. Just to let you know that you have Niner faithful listening to you. I also have people that heard the comment about what you made about Larry Fitzgerald, and they said they highly disagree with that. So you got some people's feathers ruffled around Fort City. I love it. I know that they're listening because they're coming to me to let me know how they feel about Nostradamus. So I love it.
Okay, so Cardinal fans, Raider fans, Niner fans, Barrett Robin fans, A.J. Green fans, Andy Dalton fans, come see me. Don't call Ty. Come talk to me. Seriously, come talk to me.
They are calling me and sending me messages about Tim. They are really saying,
hey, Ty.
Yes.
Any of those callers from Canada? Like maybe Toronto?
No, we got them from California. We got them from Nevada, Philadelphia, North Carolina, also in Florida. A couple of these messages that came either Sports City Chef Gmail or to me personally on how they've been listening to the kitchen, and they are feeling some type of way about Mr. Knight. So this, I know they're listening, so this is good. This is good, and I think one of them will be showing up. They said they will either be here today or tomorrow, so I'm hoping they're here tomorrow for this guy because they did not show up. Anything else preseason-wise that you guys would like to hit on before I get to one more topic before we get out of here?
Just real quick about the points, and everyone touched on the great points, but one thing is Vegas. I don't know what the point spread for the Patriots-Packers game was, but I don't know if 33 points was that or 11 points, 22 for the Packers, 11 for the Patriots. There's going to be a lot of weird scores. There's going to be a lot of games where instead of being, you know, 2 or 3 point victories, they're 5 or 6 point victories because there's been missed field goals. And Vegas may lose a lot or win a lot depending on how this goes and if they can hit it right. But I think there could be a big implication on if Vegas doesn't win a lot, because this rule is only for this year. This is a tryout year for this rule, the field goal rule, or extra point move back. So I have a big feeling, and I know Chandler hits on it a lot, that the biggest thing that moves industries or this industry is the pocket. And I think if Vegas pockets are hit hard enough by these points being so conscrewed, we may see this only for this season. And it may not matter if it brings enjoyment or fun to the game. It may be gone just because of what happens in Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nacho is like on fire tonight. I don't know if y'all paying attention. You need to pay attention to what this man is saying. Nacho's on fire, okay? I'm not Nostradamus tonight. Nostradamus, damn it. Listen, you're absolutely right, bud. You're hitting on some stuff that didn't even occur to me, I swear to God. As you're saying, I'm thinking, I'm like, you know what? Oh, my God. What happens if teams start doing this 33-yard field goal and they start missing? Every team runs it back, you know, all kind of stuff, right? The point spreads are going to get thrown totally out of whack. And let's be clear, people, the reason they tell you who's injured, the reason they tell you who's probable, it's for gambling. It's for Vegas.
See, in Spanish, they say, believe me, I have seen it firsthand.
I'm going to steal your line. And if you didn't know, now you know. All right.
No. Believe me. I know. You ain't got to tell me. I know. Especially when you go there and see it firsthand. Okay, Sports Leader, I guess I get to let you in on a little bit of life out there, Vegas. And if you've been there, you've probably seen it. Boy, are they in those sport books looking at what Adam Schefter and those guys are reporting on that injury report. And once they hear probable or it's starting, they go out there and do their thing. So believe me, I know. So just to say the least about that situation, because you know Adam Schefter and Morty, it's like they're in these dudes' lockers hearing what's going on.
People forget that Jimmy the Greek got a job. Jimmy the Greek was a bookie, people. Jimmy the Greek was a bookie. You know, the guy you hear about who gets people in trouble and guys come to break their legs because they can't pay their bookie. Jimmy the Greek was a bookie from Jersey, which means he was in league with guys with bent noses. La Cosa Nostra. Okay? He was on every Sunday when I was growing up, telling me the line was on every football game. Jimmy the Greek. Mobster. Okay? So, Nacho, you're absolutely right, man. It's going to get real ugly for Vegas. This rule will be going next year.
Mm-hmm. And even in on a more personal note, with fantasy football, if you had Mason Crosby, and this was a real game yesterday, he only kicked it one time, I think twice. I think he kicked one field goal, and he kicked one extra point. We scored three touchdowns. He should have had three extra points and one field goal. As a fantasy player, sometimes three extra points wins you a league. And when you put 50, 100, I've been offered to play in a $250 fantasy league this year. I'm not partaking in, but when you put $250 on the line and now you're messing with fantasy players' pockets too, you know, I don't know what kind of stronghold the fans hold, because obviously they don't hold to them so much, but on a personal note, that's going to affect a lot of people's pockets as well. And when it comes to these real games and these coaches like Mike McCarthy, Belichick, an offense like the Steelers, they're going to be scoring multiple times. And like Ty said, we may see a bunch of Oregons out there going for two a lot. Just beware for a lot of people to be mad on Monday or Tuesday
when people only got to kick one field goal a whole game and the team scored 30-some points. That's going to be ridiculous.
And Nacho, don't forget that DraftKings is in bed with every professional sports franchise right now. DraftKings is in bed with the MLB, NBA, NHL, PGA, WTA, okay? They're in bed with all of them. Because on every channel, when you're watching a game, what's the commercial you see for DraftKings? Exactly. So, and we know DraftKings is about people paying to play fantasy sports in the hopes of winning millions of dollars. So you are absolutely right, dude, you on fire tonight. Oh, my God. People, it's Nacho Domus tonight, damn it. I'm giving the crown away. The crown is in Arizona.
That don't mean crap. They are still coming for you. What you trying to give, Nacho? You can try to run, damn it. But your show can't hide. I know that's right. I know that's right. Because believe me, that brother has took his fair share over the dealers, too. And by the way, just to add on another situation, Pittsburgh is playing Jacksonville, and they went for two and succeeded. So we have another touchdown with a two-point conversion on top of it, too. So this is getting interesting around the NFL. I wonder how many two-point conversions are going to be gone after. I guess throughout the entirety of the preseason to see if people want to risk taking that kick on whichever hash it may be. Call the numbers 917-889-9592. We have an interesting matchup today. The New York Yankees up against the Blue Jays, and the Yankees are now out of first place. Toronto on fire getting that first place position. But that's not where I want to go. I want to go to the topic that has Chandler hating on me. Interesting enough, we just have breaking news, people, breaking news. Julius Thomas, the former tight end from the Denver Broncos, now the tight end of the Jacksonville Jaguars, injured, out with an apparent hand injury. This just happened in the Pittsburgh game. So Julius Thomas, the big target for Peyton Manning, is now out for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Stay tuned to that one. I hope this isn't dangerous, but it's like, what else could happen to the Jacksonville Jaguars? I mean, Jesus. I know people in Florida are just tired of it, like literally. Or let me say the northern area of Florida, because they're not in the
maybe
southern
area. Maybe a real quarterback, Ty, instead of Blake Bortles.
Say it again? Maybe Bortles is a good quarterback. Don't do that. Blake Bortles is a good quarterback.
Eddie Bridgewater instead of Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles is a bum. Get over it. I know you got a man crush. Blake Bortles is trash.
I do. For Bortles, I do. I'm not going to lie. For Bortles, I do.
Stop. We got some boondocks on you. Right? I'll bring up some boondocks on you. Breathe it in. Bask in it. Blake Bortles is a bum.
You're saying he's a bum on a team that has been struggling. They don't even have any pieces. When he got there, he thought he was going to have Justin Blackman. Justin Blackman is no longer on that team anymore, people, because of drug issues. He also had somebody that actually did an interview with Sports City, and Cecil Shorts III. Cecil Shorts III is no longer on Jacksonville anymore, people. Everything that he's seen before he even got on the field is not there any longer. There's no way that you can hold it to Blake Bortles. I'm not letting that happen.
If you're going to keep telling me Geno Smith ain't no good, Blake Bortles ain't no good.
When did you ever say that? Wait. When did you ever hear me say Geno Smith wasn't good?
You said Bryce Petty was better.
I said he's better than the people that are going to go for that backup position. With Geno being hurt, I think he could get the spot over Fitzpatrick. That's what I said.
You said Bryce Petty was better than Geno Smith. We've had this conversation,
no.
Ty. Don't front.
No.
Ty, be honest. You think Bryce Petty's better than Geno Smith, yes or no?
I think his career, he'll be better than Geno. But right now, no. Geno's been through a couple more pro games than he has.
Ty.
When it's all said and done, I'll admit this. Do you think Bryce said and done? when it's all said and done, I think Patty's career will be way better than Geno's. Yes, I do
which
believe
means
in
you
that.
Think
yeah.
he's better. Which means you think he's better. Yes or no?
Okay, if we're going off of that, then yes, I guess so. Right, if I'm going off of that, yes.
So you're wrong on Bortles and Petty. I'm just saying.
We'll see. Blake, don't let me down. And Bryce, I'm glad you did that yesterday. Shut him up. And he's a fan of yours, no less, too. So if you start lighting the AFC East up, watch Chandler jump on your bandwagon. Just watch, because he's a fan of yours. He has to be.
I hate Derek Jeter. I don't get on bandwagons. Be clear, people. I never liked Derek Jeter. I hate him. Think he sucks.
And he says Jeter sucks. Lord have mercy. City, do y'all see what I'm dealing with? Do y'all see? And I don't like the Yankees. And I'm defending Jeter. I can't. This dude will give me a headache. I know he will. He will. And I already got people telling me they can't wait to get at him. So y'all come here and get at him and stop letting me having to defend y'all. Jeez. Okay. So now to the topic that I guess this is why Chandler didn't want me to address the situation, because he said he was hating on me. So that's why I'm dealing with the fire right now in the kitchen. So Mr. Knight, Barry Bonds and his federal case are now over. So now this says a lot to his career moving forward. And also, do you think this is a situation that opens the door for him to get into the Hall, no less? But your thoughts around Barry Bonds, and does this open up the door for other players that have dealt with, you know, steroid use or abuse?
No. Listen, the media has hated Barry Bonds since they stole the MVP award from him and gave it to Terry Pendleton. Let me be very clear. I don't give a damn if you like the Atlanta Braves or not. Terry Pendleton was not the most valuable player in the National League the year he won it. They gave it to him because they didn't want to give it to Barry. Okay? Because they didn't want to give Barry four consecutive awards. That would have been a record. So they gave it to that bum, Terry Pendleton. Terry, you're a good player. Really good player. You weren't the most valuable player. You sucked. Be clear. You had one career year. You weren't the MVP. Barry's not getting the Hall of Fame, man. He's not. I love Barry Bonds. I love his father, Bobby. He played with the Yankees for one season. I liked him with the Giants. Bobby Bonds had more talent than his son. For those of you who don't know, Bobby was faster, had a better arm, could hit for more power, could hit for a better average. At the time Bobby Bonds came up, there was still a lot of racial issues in Major League Baseball. He wasn't as successful as he could have been. And that's what colored Barry Bonds' view towards the media and baseball. I don't care that Barry Bonds used steroids, because Gaylord Perry's in the Hall of Fame for cheating. He threw spitballs. Greg Nettles, who you won't find one Yankee fan alive who's anything wrong about, once hit a home run in Cleveland, his bat snapped. And Super Bowls, for those of you old enough to remember what they are, came out of his bat. I don't want to hear about cheating. Okay? Because everyone's been cheating. Greg Nettles, broken bat, Super Bowls came out of his bat. Google it if you don't believe me. It's a fact. Against the Cleveland Indians, people. So when people start talking about, well, Barry cheated, you've been cheating in baseball since baseball started. They've been cheating in baseball since it started. Whether you believe Abner Doubleday started it, whether you believe it started in England, I don't give a damn. They've been cheating in baseball since its inception. Yet somehow, Barry is like, oh my God, he cheated. Because he broke the record of a white guy, Babe Ruth. And Mark McGwire. So, no, Barry's not getting the Hall of Fame, Ty. Barry's not getting the Hall of Fame. He's not getting in the Hall of Fame. He's not getting in the Hall of Fame. Because the media hates him. Because people hate him. And because the hypocrisy of fans is such that we don't mind Andy Pettit doing steroids, but we got a problem with Barry Bonds doing steroids.
Nacho, do you think or agree with Chandler? Do you think he'll get into the hall, or do you think Barry Bonds will basically be on the outside looking in, similar to what Pete Rose is going through right now with Major League Baseball?
I think that Chandler's right in the sense that they won't see themselves get into the Hall of Fame. This is a process in which I think both gentlemen, Pete Rose and Barry Bonds, will have to pass away in order for the MLB to put them into the Hall of Fame. As unjust, as unfair, as ridiculous as that is, that seems to be the set, the mindset of what the public wants or how it feels. And they don't want them in. But I feel once they have passed on, whenever that may be, however that may be, some time will pass, a year or two, and they will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. I just think it's very, very, and I said unjust and fair, and I got to say them again because there's no other words. It's just very, it's wrong that you would do that to not only Barry, but to Pete as well. A guy who only, you know, who you say you only betted on games, but, you know, he only betted on games, and I believe they were on his team to win. I don't believe he ever bet on his team to lose. So, I mean, you know, think of it as you may, it may be bad or wrong at the time, but, you know, he's never betting on his team to lose, so there's no incentive, you know, if you think it's wrong or cheating. But I just, you know, like I said, I don't understand it, why they're keeping either one of them out. But I believe that in both situations it'll be sad because they'll have to pass away before they get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is.
And that's the bad point about, I guess, the rules, regulations, and the voters as well, or the powers that be to see these guys to get into their respected halls, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, or hockey, that they feel a sudden sense of sentiment when these guys pass away. So it's like, let's put them in to honor them so we could always remember them and, you know, cherish what they brought to the sport in their respected era. Why don't they, you know, choose to do this regardless of what happened while they were playing? Because it wasn't like they were the pioneer of betting, or they were the pioneer of using steroids, or the pioneer, whatever. Whatever scenario you want to choose to put in a case in point or fill the blank situation, they weren't the first. If they were, then so be it. Then I guess you're making an example of it. And they probably are making an example of Pete Rose. But there is no way you can sit up here and tell me that Pete Rose was the first guy to bet on sports in the sport realm. Really?
Nope. Not at all.
I guarantee there is some manager right now whistling, looking at the sky like, it ain't me. As long as Pete is the frontier of the situation, I'm fine. I'm fine. Believe me. There's no way that he's the Lone Ranger. Okay, so we are at the tail end of the show. We actually gave you an extra 30 minutes because these dudes want to cook today. They came to cook Friday, so even though they let me do my thing early, Chandler wants to throw me under the bus talking about Cordell Brodus. Yeah, that's right, Snoop. I'm talking about the son in a good light, but Chandler didn't want me to start up like that. And he said he hated me, but he talked about Barry Bonds, and we got through with it regardless. So that means A-Rod might be in trouble, too. Just saying, A-Rod may be in trouble, too. I had to sneak that one in there. Okay, so I need to close out, shout out, anything that you guys would like to do to promote before we get out of this show here at the Roundtable. Mr. Silva, I'll start with you first. Thank you for stopping into the kitchen today here at the Roundtable.
At Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I feel flattered, at exactly how Chandler responded to my input today. So it's really an honor for him to say the things he said. And I hate to do this, too, after so, you,
it's like, you know, with all due respect, but because I don't know, but I have a feeling, you know, does anyone know the Toronto Blue Jays Oakland A series, how that went? I know that with the last time we talked,
Really?
I didn't know.
Proceed, Nacho. Proceed.
As I think I recall now, thinking on SportsCenter, they have won 11 straight, or is it 12 straight? You know, and doing their thing, taking a half game lead on the Yankees. See, Chandler, I'm learning baseball. As you guys let me talk, you know, my stuff, I really appreciate it. Food Fight, as soon as Ty wants to get it in, we'll get it in. There's some big dishes that need to be spoken about. Some official dates have been set, weights have been set, other fights, as well as the Berto fight. It's going to be very interesting. For the food fight when we can get it going off. Again, thank you so much. Back-to-back MVPs like always, and boxing's not dead. Free boxing for all.
I know this might – I don't care, people, if people take this next statement that I'm going to say in Sports City a certain way, but another breaking news situation. Well, not really breaking news. I guess I could consider this breaking news. He went to the CFL being Michael Sam, and he's retiring from the CFL. So it's looking like he's giving up all hope on all football right now. So this has just came out also. I guess this is something to see to see if he ends up, you know, trying to come back to the sport of football. But he is now giving up on the CFL side of things, too. And he was on a roster, too. But he's quitting CFL football right now. So Michael Sam's situation in Canada is not working either. Chandler, I need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you like to promote as we shut down the doors here at the roundtable.
Well, thank you, Nacho. I appreciate that. Let me dig this knife. Can you help me get the knife off my back right now? Because it's right in between my shoulders.
No. That's what you did for defending him all the time. This is like when the Pilgrims told the Indians they had blankets for them. This is exactly what happened.
Okay, yeah, the American soldiers gave the Indians blankets, but what was it? Measles and smallpox on it. Thank you, Nacho. Michael Sam, had you not decided to try to market your sexuality, I feel bad for you. I got a problem. And Ty said this at the time. My problem with Michael Sam had nothing to do with sexuality. We all got an Uncle Linda and an Aunt Joe. Okay? We all have one that comes to family union, comes to your house, whatever. Okay? We all got one. If you and don't act like you don't. Be clear. We all got one. Right? So, which means that you ain't got, because if you love them, you ain't got a problem with gay people. Be clear. You don't. I ain't got a problem with gay people. I got a problem with people trying to profit off of a situation and act like, oh, I'm a pioneer. Michael Sam wasn't a pioneer. Michael Sam was somebody who tried to profit from a situation.
Right.
There are a whole lot of defensive players, offensive, whatever, that were conference all-stars, conference players of the year, who never got drafted, who never made the NFL. John Randall's going into the Hall of Fame, is in the Hall of Fame, people. He was undrafted. He was undrafted. A lot of players don't go drafted. But Michael Sam decided to try to make sure he got drafted by bringing up the sexuality. I don't give a damn who you sleep with. I really don't care. I'm not sleeping with you, so I don't care who you sleep with. You ain't sleeping with me? I don't care who you sleep with. Let me be very clear. Unless you're sleeping with me, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Because you're not sleeping with me. Okay? When you sleep with me, it matters. Other than that, I don't give a damn. He tried to profit from it. Karma is a bitch. Deal with it, Mike.
Ooh. Oh my God. That is my slogan. I do not like messing with that girl. Listen, karma is too tough. That's why I'm not talking about anybody's quarterback. That's why I'm like, Geno, get healthy. Geno, get healthy. Do what you need to do. Because Matt Short didn't look good last night, so I don't need none of that happening. Please, Lord. Karma, leave me alone. I don't have no problems with you. But that is the one thing that did bother me about the Chandler. Like, just like you said, whatever they do behind closed doors or whatever their sexuality preferences is what they do. But for him to, you know, make it so much of a big deal before he got drafted and then having the whole spectacle of him in his living room and, you know, once he got drafted, that being on ESPN on how they, you know, made out situations, so on and so forth. It was so much drawn to it. I don't know how. Look. This bothers me to even talk about it like this. But I don't even know how. Like, even if he were to make an NFL team roster, how his, you know, his teammates would approach him, you know, game after game, being in the locker room and feeling some type of way. That's like uncomfortable for him. Let alone his teammates. That's uncomfortable for him. And the storm was made up earlier this week about how much coverage the media was making about him and his sexual preference. And this is probably this is what drove him away, because he said his mental health. So he's thinking about this situation. You know what I'm saying? So I hope you get better, Michael Sam. I hope you can get out there and play football and not make so much of a big deal about your sexual preference, because more, to be honest, I'm going to say it like this, you're making more of a big deal about how you encounter with things outside of football more than what you're doing on a football field. That's what I have to say about that. But I do hope that you get out there and play something that you do love, being a sport of football. But this is the second league that he's stepping away from, and I don't know if he'll, you know, make a roster, because this is two leagues that he's walked away from or been forced away. However you present it, it's a rough situation for Michael Sam, I must say. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chefs. Back here tomorrow, Gridiron Chefing things up. 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard, if I'm not mistaken. I got to check with Brock, but we will be posting this up on Twitter, all of the Sports City Chef pages on Facebook, my page as well. I'm trying to get these guys in line. We got a lot of stuff to jump into. Oh, just for note, reference Sports City, as of now, I will be, and this is a wink-wink situation for Nacho Silva, I will be in the Arizona, Southern California area the weekend of August 28th to August 31st. So I probably will not be on air, but I'm going to try and get somebody to hold us down to do shows from that Friday to Sunday. So stay tuned to that, Sports City. I might be meeting Mr. Silver before December, people. So stay tuned. On that note, tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, the Detroit Lions beat the Jets 23-3 in a preseason game. Now you know.
Full effect, and all I need is one reason, just to pull this ratchet out. Y'all told me to go office and a lot of pens. Yeah, youngin' still got it in. 120 a gram. Now that had your smokers and your fiends leaning like a kickstand. I said, my brother for your mother, man. Put them blocks in them dead presidents wrapped in rubber bands. Shotty with pistol grips that'll rip through shit. I hate a prick, I kill his bitch and make him dick to dick. Need fuck, keep something on me and send a clip. Cause I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. And I can show you how to do this shit. Get you straight and get your cake right. Let a smoker test your weight before you take it to the plate. Rock it down, stuff the shit in 5-8. Early and not late. Don't be making no mistakes. Put it out and then you bring it back straight. It's more money to make.
These bucks and full of facts. And all I need is one reason, just to pull this burner. Cause y'all told me to go next. And I'ma be goddamn if I'ma get my turn up. These bucks and full of facts. And all I need is one reason, just to pull this ratchet out. Y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I'ma squeeze my cannon out.
John Gunner, just another victim of the ghetto, nigga. Post and pivot and distribute the work. My pop broke his pivot, got addicted to work. Man, they say it's a shame, but as they say, it's a game. I made my way through the game. Rowdy Lord Youngin with that snotty nose youngin. Everybody Lord Youngin. The only youngin now hugging that pavement for paper. They were shoveling pavements for neighbors. I never made it to them 5-on-5. They was playing live, I was trying to stay live. Trying to stay alive. Mom's working 11:30, the curfew, I was trying to stay the 5. Hoping them quarters stay at 5 while I'm killing. They can't stop me before the day arrive. I'll be copping again. So fuck the day job while I'm dealing. They ain't stopping me straight from the center to state property.
Young Christian, full of bank. And all I need is one reason just to pull this burner. Cause y'all told me to go next. And I'ma be goddamn if I'ma get my turn up. Young Christian, full of bank. And all I need is one reason just to pull this ratchet out. Y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I don't squeeze my can out.
That's all I got. I'm gone.